Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your watch over us. I thank you for the Christmas season and the fact that we can celebrate your birth in this time of year. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do two things this morning. First, I want to have a discussion about the nativity scene. Second, I've got a little story that I wrote that I think is kind of cute, a little interesting. Different perspective on the whole Christmas thing. Christmas, birth of Jesus, we'll put it that way, on the birth of Jesus. So let's start with the nativity scene. So when you think of the nativity scene, what do you see? You got, what's there? The manger, okay. Manger, good. What else we have? Jesus, Mary, Joseph, good. The wise men, okay. The shepherds. I heard a donkey, yes. The star. Okay, the gifts. Good. I heard angels. What else? Okay, maybe an innkeeper sometimes. Baby Jesus, that was mentioned. Where are they? Okay, I heard in a cave. I heard in a stable. In the barn, okay. When you the typical nativity scene, if you're driving by on the road and you see one, usually it's a wood shack kind of a thing, right? So, here's the question. What was really there? This is you're all right. That's the nativity scene. Well, what was really there when Christ was born? Well, let's go to our textbook. Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. Give me an amen when you've got it. Amen. All right, good. Thank you. Luke 2, and it reads, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. And the census first took place while Quirinius," hopefully I said that right, "was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Does all that make sense? We understand what's going on. All right. "To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." Now I've got a question for you. Why would she go with him if they weren't already married? She was of the lineage of David, you're correct. But why would she travel with him?
Because.
Go ahead. Good thought. I don't know. That's not in the Bible. Maybe. Carlton? Correct. They were to be married, but in that day and age, you didn't go anywhere unless you were married with someone of the opposite sex. Okay? Now, it tells us in Matthew that they got, that he took her as his wife, the words he uses, he did not know her until after Jesus was born. So, presumably, they were married, but hadn't consummated the marriage. Okay? That's what I'm going with. So, she traveled with him. And yes, they're both of the lineage of David, which makes a lot of sense as well. "So it was, while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered." So they're there, it's time to give birth. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. So, what do we have in our picture of the Nativity so far that we've talked about? We've got Mary, we've got Joseph, her firstborn son, so we've got Jesus, we've got a manger, we've got the swaddling clothes, because there was no room in the inn. Okay? Now, we continue, verse 8. So we've got the basic picture, we've got the people, but we don't have the structure yet, except it says there was no room in the inn. And as I was doing some study on this, the idea of it being in a shack or in a cave, both of those are thought potentially, really what it was most likely, inns would have courtyards down in the middle of the building, so it was built around it. And in that courtyard is where they would have all the animals. So very likely it was ground, maybe an inn in the background, but probably nothing over their roof, nothing for roof. Maybe divided stalls, but probably not. Some hay. So that's what it really looked like. Yes, Carlton? There might... Potentially...
They had to get to there because they would be in
town. Potentially, but then again, Joseph was looking for the first place that anybody would give him, and that might have been the first... Well, you can have that. So he just took it. Of course... Woman in labor. He had seen this before. He had other kids. We got to get there, get ready, and get business done. So he found a place and settled in. Now we switch our, now our picture changes for a minute. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. So now we have the shepherds. Now they're not at the scene yet, but they're off. And how would you feel if you're sitting there tending your flocks, and all of a sudden, bright light appears in the sky? You'd be blinded, for starters. And you recognize it as a heavenly being, because it's floating, and talking to you. What would your reaction be?
Terrified.
Afraid, okay? So what's the angel's first words?
Fear not,
or do not be afraid. You know, that timely words, is it not? And as I've looked through the Bible, and just about every time an angel shows up, what are their first words?
Fear not.
It's okay. I'm here. For behold, continuing in verse 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for you alone. Is that what it says? For all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, just over the hill over there, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now that'd be something to find, wouldn't it? A baby in a manger. Now swaddling clothes, that's pretty common. But lying in a manger? That's an identifying mark. Yes, Diane. Oh, yes, exactly.
It wasn't like a cradle that we would think of.
No.
It was a feeding trough that animals eat.
Simply a feed box.
Yeah.
You know, the pictures that we've got the plays that we do, a lot of times the X boards with the slats on the sides hold hay. Probably all it was. Nice, rough, probably rough wood. May have had some bite marks in it. Carlton?
Everything that is built is like an ark, even when a door is an ark. It's is something packed in. Even the Ark of the Covenant was something that they put something in. It's always a cave.
Okay. Okay. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So you picture here this one angel talking to the shepherds, and they, okay, we're not afraid anymore. This is interesting news. Cool. Whoa, now the sky's full. A heavenly hosts. And you know, it says they're saying, but I imagine they were singing. You know, because they're talking about God, talking about Jesus. They couldn't help but sing, I'm sure. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Let's go see the baby king. And they went, they came very slowly. Is that what it says? What's it say? They came with haste. There's somebody to see, and he's going to save us. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. So they, like they were told, this is for all people, they spread it around. Now, and all this happened on December 25th, right? No, but that's Christmas. We don't know exactly when he was born, but we do know this. It was not December 25th. Here's part of how we know. Shepherds watched their flocks in the fields and slept in the fields late spring to early fall. That's when it was nice outside. That's when they were out there, which means Jesus was born during that time. There's people that say, well, it was the spring. There's people that say, well, it was the fall. It was within that time frame. We know that for sure. So it was definitely not December 25th, and that's a whole other discussion as to why it's on December 25th, but we're not going there today. So, what do we have in our scene? We've got no shelter. That's gone. We're sure there were angels there because it was the birth of Jesus. We've got some animals because there were other animals around, and Joseph would have traveled with a donkey because they were traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is about 80 miles, which you can't do that in a day on foot. So they would have carried supplies on a donkey. There may have been some other animals, goats, maybe some sheep. Maybe the shepherds brought a sheep. There's the shepherds. There's baby Jesus, the manger. What's missing from the scene that's always there when we look at nativity scenes? I heard it over here. Say it louder. The wise men. The wise men, they're not there, are they? So where are the wise men? Well, what does the Bible tell us about where the wise men are? Now we have to go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. It starts at the beginning. And it reads, I don't hear pages, okay? And it reads, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So when? After, which means it wasn't the night of, it wasn't before, after. Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. So they didn't even come to Bethlehem. They came to Jerusalem. And where were Mary and Joseph at this time? Nope, they weren't in Nazareth. Well, no, they weren't in Egypt yet. Hold on. Rather than reading it, I've got the exact place. I just have to find it specifically here. When they, verse 9, when they heard the king, so they went and talked to the king, told them about when they saw the star. there it is, verse 11. That's what I was looking for. Hold on, let me back up. Verse 10. No, let me back up to verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east was before him, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they had come into where? The house. Which tells us that Mary and Joseph decided to settle in Bethlehem. They had moved from the floor, the dirt floor in an inn, outside of an inn, to a house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they bring gifts? I heard it over here, Callie. He was a king. As we look at history through the Bible and outside of the Bible, anytime someone went to visit a king, they always brought gifts. Always. Now, how many wise men were there? We don't know. They brought three gifts, true, but we have no idea how many. There could have been six. It says magi, the word in Hebrew, or Greek, excuse me, is magi, which means plural. So there was two at least. We always assume three, and there's always three because there's three gifts. But that doesn't mean there wasn't four or five or six. We don't have any idea. So they weren't at the manger or the nativity scene. And we find Herod called them and said, when was it that you saw the star? So they told him, and that's why Herod went and said, execute everybody from how old and younger? Two. Which means, we don't know how far from the east they came, but it was far enough that it could have taken them up to 2 years to get there. Some estimates say it took them 40 days. 40 days to 2 years, long enough that Herod said, 2 years and under, kill them all. So what do we have at our nativity scene? Do we have wise men? No wise men. We've got the manger, baby Jesus. No structure at all. I'm sure there was an angel there. The star, which would have been a little further off. It wouldn't have been right over the manger. It was the angels that were talking to the shepherds who then showed up. So our nativity scene is significantly cut down from what it was, isn't it? Now I'm going to do a little something different. We're going to look at the story of Jesus through some different eyes. This is for you, Eldon. Joseph's donkey. I'd seen that look in their eyes before. Maybe even in the eyes of my master, Joseph. But this time, it was different. There was a little something more when he looked at her. This young Mary was stunning, and even I could see that she was worth giving a second look. I think Joseph might be in love. Then it all changed. Joseph left one day with that sparkle in his eye and came home, dejected and angry, that something special was gone. It was replaced with hurt and anger. I could tell how mad he was by the way he worked out his anger on that new piece of wood he was working with. Wood chips went flying, and he wasn't even using anything sharp to hit the wood with. Shortly after, I remember a strange night. Joseph finished his work mad, which was the new norm, and went inside for the night. That night, there were some strange sounds coming from inside the house. I have no idea what happened, but the next morning, Joseph's demeanor returned to what it had been before. Joseph remained happy, but I didn't see Mary for quite some time. Several months later, I was in my nice, cozy stall in Nazareth, minding my own business. I had enough hay and grass and sometimes even some grain. I knew something was wrong, or something was going on, because there was lots of bustle around, and I couldn't help but notice all the comings and goings. Of late, the Roman soldiers were around way more than normal. They were making announcements in the town square. Something about being counted. I couldn't quite make it out. Right after those announcements, Joseph started getting me ready for a trip. He packed up what we would need and stacked it near my stall. Then, much to my surprise, he brought Mary home. But something was different about her. She didn't look the same. There was a large bump around her waist, and she was walking funny and holding her low back a lot. Joseph pulled me out of my stall, and then I understood that I was going on the trip with him and Mary. What I wasn't expecting was that Mary rode on me, along with all the other things that went with us. It was a long trip, and Mary seemed very uncomfortable. It seems that my back was hard and bony or something. I don't think so, but then again, I haven't ridden on my back, so I don't really know. We finally arrived at this little town, like Nazareth, but much smaller. I think I heard the name Bethlehem. That's when things really started to get exciting. As we came up to the well in the middle of town, Mary became extremely uncomfortable and vocal about the pain she was in. Okay, so my back is bony, but it's really not that bad. Mary kept saying something about, it's time. I didn't understand, but Joseph, who's usually a fairly calm man, went into a panic. He started running around town asking everyone for a room. And anyone for a room. It seemed that there was nobody that wanted to give us poor travelers a place to stay for the night. Finally, someone gave me a spot, and I was happy to have Mary off my back. I don't know what she was complaining about. I was the one that was carrying her and everything else. Then, much to my surprise, Joseph laid Mary down beside me. Were they staying here with me? And all of us animals? Mary made lots of noise and looked extremely uncomfortable. See, I knew that it wasn't my back. It was her all along. Things looked strange for quite some time. Then there was a sound that I'd heard before. I'd heard before, but not relating to Mary. A baby cried. I looked around to see where it was coming from and found nothing until I looked back at Mary. That's when I saw him. An unremarkable baby who looked like all the other ones I'd ever seen until, since I was the only family there, I was introduced to him. He was wrapped up tight in a cloth. But when I looked at him, I could see something different in his face. This was no ordinary baby. This was a king. I could see or smell or hear, I'm not really sure which or all of the above, but I knew this baby was a king. And I'm not the only one that noticed either. There were some shepherds that came in from the fields in the middle of the night and asked to see the baby. They said they'd been told by angels that they would find a king wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A manger? Wait, that's when I realized that I hadn't eaten. And when I looked for my hay, there was nothing there. I started to get mad until I saw where my manger was. The baby king was laid in it for his bed. I didn't need to eat. I could miss a few meals. He can have my manger. I got to experience many things with this King Jesus as he grew up, including traveling to Egypt, a place I'd heard about, but that was all. And later, leaving him in the temple when he was only 12 years old. Jesus was the kindest person I was ever able to work with, and other animals and people seemed to think so too. The donkey was observant. He noticed people's eyes. He noticed how they changed. And then he recognized the face of Jesus. Here's my question. Have you seen Jesus? He's here. We can see him in people's eyes sometimes. But he's there for you. All you have to do is recognize that he's there and worship him like the shepherds and the wise men did. Have you seen Jesus? And let him lead your life completely. As we wrap up the Christmas season and begin next week, we'll be in a new year. But have you seen Jesus? His story is in this book, and it is a compelling one. Jesus is here for you. Are you looking for him? Have you seen him? Our closing hymn. So go tell it on the mountain. What's the number? 120? 121, excuse me. 121. Go tell it on the mountain. Let's stand. Jesus is born. He lived that perfect life and died for each of us. So remember that as we move into the next year and beyond. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the gift of Jesus. That he came, was born, lived that perfect life, and died on the cross to take our place. Please, Father, allow us to realize that we need you. Thank you for your love. And go with us now as we separate. In Jesus' name, amen.